You know, there's this very specific kind of anxiety that business owners get when they're looking at their monthly profit and loss statement. You scan down the list, right? Rent, payroll, insurance. It all makes sense. You know what you're paying
You
for.
see the building, you see the people.
Exactly. But then you hit that line item, technology services, IT support, and it's just this black
A
box.
black box line item, yeah.
It's a massive number, and you're essentially writing a check, sometimes for thousands of dollars a month, just so that nothing bad happens. You're paying for the absence of a problem.
It's the utility paradox. When it's working perfectly, you think, why am I paying so much for this?
Right.
And when it breaks, you think, why am I paying for this at all? It's a totally thankless job.
And it gets so much worse when you try to figure out if you're paying a fair price. You go to a provider's website, you click pricing, and what do you get?
Contact us for a quote.
Every single time, call for custom solutions, and it feels like it's designed to be confusing.
It is a little bit.
Well, today we're going to fix that. We have a really comprehensive data set in front of us. It's a pricing guide for managed IT services, specifically for Orange County, California for 2026.
And that's key. We're not talking national averages. We're talking Irvine, Anaheim, Santa Ana. The cost of technical talent there is, well, it's different than it is in other parts of the country.
So our mission today for this deep dive is to crack that black box open. We're going to give you the hard numbers, the different tiers, and all the little gotchas that are usually buried in the fine print.
Yeah, we want to get past the whole it depends answer and give you some real dollar amounts to work with. We're going to look at the three main pricing tiers and, maybe more importantly, why they're priced the way they are.
Okay, let's just jump right in then. Anchor this for us. If I'm running a typical small or medium-sized business in Orange County, what's the headline number? What's that sweet spot?
Okay, if you want competent professional IT support, so you're not scraping the bottom of the barrel, you are looking at a range between $100 and $250 per user per month.
Whoa, okay, let's pause right there. 100 to 250. That's a massive spread.
It is.
If I have, say, 20 employees, that's the difference between $2,000 a month and $5,000 a month. That's $36,000 a year. Why such a huge gap?
It comes down to three things, really: complexity, risk, and speed. But before we get to that, we have to talk about the metric itself, per user.
Right. Not to computer.
Not per computer.
Yeah.
That's the old way of thinking. Business owners still think, I have 20 computers, charge me for 20 computers, which, you know, feels logical.
Yeah, the computer is the thing that breaks.
It was logical in 2015, but now, your average employee has a laptop, right? A smartphone with company email. Maybe a tablet, and they have a digital identity that logs into Office 365, Salesforce, Slack.
So the work isn't just fixing the hardware anymore, it's securing that person across like five different platforms.
Exactly. The hardware is cheap. The human is the security risk. The human clicks the bad links, forgets passwords, logs in from Starbucks. The industry shifted to per-user pricing because that's a much better measure of the actual work involved.
That makes sense. Okay, so back to that 100 to 250 spread. You mentioned three tiers. Let's start at the bottom. What am I getting for $100 or maybe even less?
So that's tier one. You'll see it advertised as low as, say, $75, up to maybe $125.
$75 sounds pretty good compared to 250.
It looks great on an invoice, but you have to know what you're not getting. Tier one is basically keep the lights on service,
Meaning.
meaning you get remote monitoring so they'll know if a server dies. You get patch management so your Windows updates and antivirus are automated.
And what if my email stops working on a Tuesday morning?
You get help desk support. And this is the crucial part. It's usually restricted. 8 to 5, Monday to Friday. And it's almost always remote only.
So if I need someone to actually come to my office in Irvine and plug something in, that's extra.
That's a separate billable hour.
Yeah.
It's a monitoring service with a phone number attached.
Who is this for then? It sounds risky.
It's fine for, you know, a very small business, a little retail shop, maybe a 5-person consultancy that just uses Google Docs. If they go down for a few hours, it's not the end of the world.
But not a law firm with court deadlines.
A law firm on a tier one plan is, frankly, playing with fire. The response times just aren't guaranteed.
Okay, that pushes us into tier two, the standard plan. I'm guessing this is where most businesses land.
Correct. This is the heart of the market. In Orange County, that's about $125 to $175 per user.
So an extra $50 per person, what does that buy me?
It buys you proactivity, and it buys you something called vendor management, which people really undervalue until they need it.
Vendor management. You mean like dealing with my internet provider?
Yes. Dealing with Cox or Spectrum for you, or the printer company, or your accounting software vendor. In Tier 1, if the internet goes out, you sit on hold for 45 minutes. In Tier 2, you just call your IT provider and go back to work. They sit on hold.
Okay, that alone might be worth the $50 for a busy owner.
For sure. But the other huge upgrade is verified backups. In Tier 1, they set up a backup and just kind of hope it works.
Oh,
in Tier 2, there's a system or even a person who regularly tests those backups to make sure the data is actually recoverable if disaster strikes.
I see. So Tier 1 is we set it up. Tier 2 is we make sure it actually works.
Precisely. And you usually get 24/7 support availability.
Yeah.
And the whole security posture is just, it's much stronger.
Which brings us to the top, Tier 3, premium, $175 to $250, maybe even more. Who needs to pay that much?
This is for the heavy hitters. And it's driven by two things, compliance and strategy. If you're in healthcare, finance, defense. You're probably playing this sandbox.
What are they doing that costs so much more?
It's mostly expensive human labor. They're doing active threat hunting, where analysts are actually digging through your network logs, looking for hackers, not just waiting for an alarm to go off.
Proactive again?
Very. And they're doing dark web monitoring, seeing if your employees' passwords are for sale. And then there's the strategy piece.
The virtual CIO.
Exactly. A virtual chief information officer. In the lower tiers, you're paying for support. In Tier 3, you're paying for a strategic partner who helps you with budgeting and planning. They're helping you run the business, not just fix the printers.
This is great, but it's still a bit abstract. I want to make it tangible. Let's run some real-world simulations based on the OC data.
Let's do it.
Okay. Scenario one. A dental practice in Santa Ana. 12 employees. They have patient records, x-ray machines, all that.
Okay. Dental office.
Yeah.
The key word there is HPAY. They have protected health information, so they cannot legally be on a Tier 1 Passion Prey plan.
The liability is too high.
The fines from a data breach could literally bankrupt them. So they need encryption, audit logs. They're forced into a high Tier 2 or a low Tier 3.
So what's the math?
Let's call it $150 a user times 12 employees. That's $1,800 a month.
$1,800. Okay, for a successful practice, that feels manageable.
It is. But here's the gotcha, the setup fee.
The onboarding cost? Why is that even a thing?
Because if that dentist hasn't had professional IT for a few years, their network is probably a mess, total disaster. Old wiring, no security, everyone knows the admin password.
So the IT company has to clean all that up first.
They had to stabilize the ship before they can start spearing it. So that first month might come with, say, a $3,000 or $4,000 onboarding fee on top of the monthly bill.
Ouch. So your first check is for like $6,000.
Often, yeah. It catches people by surprise.
Okay, let's go bigger. A manufacturer in Anaheim. 45 employees, office, and a warehouse.
Okay, this one is all about the cost of downtime. If the dentist's email is down, they can still clean teeth. If this manufacturer's network goes down,
the assembly line stops.
Trucks don't get loaded. They're losing thousands of dollars an hour. So they're paying for speed, a guaranteed response time, a service level agreement, or SLA.
So what does their bill look like?
You're probably looking at a base of maybe $135 a user. You get a small volume discount. But then you add a premium for that quick response. They're probably looking at around $6,500 a month.
$6,500. That's a serious number. $78,000 a year.
It is.
Yeah.
But hold on to that number. We're going to come back to it when we talk about hiring someone internally.
Okay, one more. A marketing agency in Costa Mesa. 8 people. All on MacBooks. Everything's in the cloud.
This is the low-complexity dream client. Macs are stable, no server in the office. They're easy.
So they get the cheap rate.
They can get a basic plus plan for maybe $110 a user. So their bill is, what, $880 a month?
Less than a grand.
Yep. For them, the value is just administrative relief. Onboarding new hires, wiping laptops when people leave, that sort of thing.
I want to circle back on something you mentioned with the dentist. Compliance. APA. PCI SOC2.
Yeah.
You said it's a lever that moves the price up. Why? Why does it actually cost more money?
Because compliance isn't just a checkbox. It's a continuous, rigorous process of documentation and proof.
So what does the guide say? What's the compliance tax on average?
For HEPA in healthcare, you're adding $25 to $50 per user per month.
Okay.
For PCI, if you take credit cards, add another $15 to $35. And for SOC2, which is huge for tech companies, you could be adding $30 to $60 per user.
But where does that money go? Is it just pure profit?
No, no, it's labor. To be SOC2 compliant, the IT provider have to run audits. They have to generate reports proving they checked the backups, proving they removed an ex-employee's access within an hour of termination.
You're paying for the paper trail.
You're paying for the proof of security, which is often harder and more time-consuming than the security itself.
Let's talk about the stuff that really makes business owners mad. The hidden costs. We mentioned the onboarding fee. What else is lurking in that contract?
The biggest one is the difference between maintenance and project work.
Explain that.
Your monthly fee covers maintenance. My Outlook won't open. The server is slow. It does not cover renovations.
And a renovation is?
We're moving to a new office. Mm-hmm. Or we want to replace our main server. Those things are billed separately, usually at a high hourly rate.
I can see how that would cause some angry phone calls.
It does. But, I mean, you don't expect your landscaper to build a new deck for the same price as mowing the lawn, you know?
Fair point. What about the nickel and dime list? All those little add-ons.
Yeah. This is where it gets tough to compare quotes. One provider says $150 a month all in. Another says $120.
But the $120 looks better.
It does. Until you see the invoice has a separate line for advanced endpoint protection at $5. Email filtering at $4, security training at $3, and suddenly your $120 is actually $160.
So you have to ask what's included in that main price.
You have to. You have to ask, is the security software stack included or is it line itemed?
Okay, I have to ask, what is advanced endpoint protection? Is that just like a fancy antivirus?
It is, but it's a different world. Old antivirus just looked for a list of known bad files. This new stuff uses AI to look for bad behavior.
So it can spot something new.
Exactly. If a file suddenly starts trying to encrypt all your other files, it kills that process. Even if it's never seen that specific ransomware before, it's the only thing that really works.
I want to address the elephant in the room here. We're talking about $150, $200 a user, but I know for a fact I can Google IT support Orange County and find a guy who'll do it for $70.
The trunk slammer.
The what?
It's the industry term.
Yeah.
A one-man shop working out of the trunk of his car.
So why shouldn't I hire him and save a ton of money?
Two words. Bus factor.
If he gets hit by a bus.
Your company has zero IT support. No passwords, no access, nothing. But even short of that, the guy has to sleep. He goes on vacation. If your server dies while he's at the dentist, you're just down.
So you're paying for the team. The redundancy.
Exactly. And the other darker side is, if someone is charging $70 a user in 2026, I can promise you they are not paying for those expensive advanced security tools we just talked about.
They're using the cheap stuff.
They're bringing a knife to a gunfight. And when you get hit with ransomware, that monthly savings suddenly looks pretty foolish.
Let's go back to that manufacturer in Anaheim paying $78,000 a year. You said we'd compare that to hiring someone. Couldn't they just hire their own IT person for that?
You could try. But let's look at the OC labor market. A decent mid-level IT admin, their salary is going to start at $85,000, $90,000.
Plus benefits.
Plus taxes, health insurance, 401k. The fully burdened cost of that employee is probably $130,000 a year.
So the outsourced team at $78,000 is still way cheaper.
Almost half the price. But here's the real kicker. The skill gap. No one person is an expert in networking, Andy cloud security, Andy help desk support, Andy compliance.
Right.
You hire one guy, you get his skills and his blind spots, you hire a managed service provider.
You're hiring a whole department.
You're getting fractional access to a whole team of specialists for less than the cost of one generalist. For most companies under, say, 75 employees, the math is just overwhelmingly in favor of outsourcing.
Okay, so let's say I'm a business owner. I'm convinced. I'm ready to shop. How do I do this without getting taken for a ride?
The single most important thing is to create a requirements list before you call anyone.
Don't just say I have 20 computers.
No. Say, I have 20 users, two locations. We use Salesforce and QuickBooks. We must be IPI compliant. We need support from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Be specific.
Why is that so critical?
Because it forces them all to quote you on an apples-to-apples basis. If you're vague, one guy will quote the cheap plan and another will quote the premium plan. And you'll have no idea why the prices are so different.
That's smart. What about the contract?
They'll all want a 3-year contract, and they'll give you a 10 or 15% discount for it.
Back.
But the smart move is to start month to month, even if it costs a little more. Think of it as a 90-day paid trial. If you don't like them, you can fire them. Once they've proven themselves, then you sign the annual deal to get the discount.
That's really good advice. And the guide mentions one last thing about checking references.
Oh, this is critical. Do not just ask for references. Ask for references in your industry.
The coffee shop's IT needs are different from the law firm's.
Totally different. If you're a law firm, ask to speak to another law firm they support. Ask that person. Do they understand our document management system? Do they get the urgency of court filing deadlines? You need someone who speaks your language.
So, bringing it all back home for the listener in Orange County, we've gone through the pricing, the tiers, the traps. What's the one big takeaway?
I think it's that managed IT in 2026 isn't a commodity. It's not like buying electricity. You are buying a risk management strategy.
The difference between viewing IT as a cost versus an investment.
It sounds like a cliche, but it's true. That $200 a user you're spending, it's buying you predictability. You're trading the chaos of break fix for a flat, predictable operational expense.
And as we wrap up, I just want to leave our listeners with one last thought. If you get a quote from a provider that seems way too good to be true, you have to ask yourself a very serious question. Are they actually selling you IT support? Or are they just selling you a false sense of security while they plan to make their real profit on emergency project fees the first time you get hacked?
And in this environment, getting that answer wrong can be a very, very expensive mistake.
Check those invoices. Ask the hard questions. Thanks for doing this deep dive with us today.
My pleasure.
We'll catch you on the next one.